Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the real season two of Indie World on KPC Radio. I'm your host, Steve Lopez, and as usual, we're going to be venturing into the avenues of filmmaking. So all of you out there know, hey, we're not that pretentious. Or are we? Are we going to be pretentious today, my guest?
No.
No. Well, speaking of that, today we're going to be going into a really broad subject. What I want to go into is photographers and more so entrepreneurial filmmakers, which my guest here has done much of that. He started off as a self-made, started off on his own photographer, and he has excelled in that to the point that he has started off in Pierce. Or did you actually start off?
I started at Pierce.
You started off at Pierce. Good, I want to get my facts straight. And you went into CSUN now. You're doing filmmaking CSUN as a senior, and you'll be graduating within a year, which is great. And if you don't mind me asking, what is your what are you focusing on in the CSUN filmmaking program?
So I'm in under the cinema and television arts program, but I'm actually a TV production major. Yeah. So I'm trying to get into like live television or like multi-cam television, anything television really.
And for you guys who are a little bit confused, CSUN split into several divisions of different majors when it comes to filmmaking. He's focusing on live TV. And if you, the big question you're asking right now is, who is this guy? Well, he has made several really great documentaries, a beautiful documentary about his father. He's also a now social media intern at Nickelodeon, which we'll be getting into also shortly. Chris Ramirez, everybody.
Hi, thank you for having me.
The delayed hello. So it's how's everything been?
It's good. It's good. It's good to be here. Because I took this class with you to begin with, and it's nice to see you. I haven't seen you in like a year, I think.
It has been a year.
So, yeah. Everything's been good.
So, what I want to get into is something we've never chatted about. How did you start off with filmmaking photography? You never told me that story.
So, I mean, really, it started with me just like going to the mountain snowboarding with my friends.
Really?
And like taking my camera. And then one time my brother, he showed me like this stupid little video he made of him like hiking. It was so boring, right? And so I kind of took that and realized like, oh, you could do this at home. Like you could make like little videos like that. So I jumped on what was Windows Movie Maker and put like little clips behind with music behind it. And then just realized like, oh, this looks so cool with me and my friends like snowboarding to music and stuff. And then it just progressed from there, and then slowly it became what it is today, which is now I'm just I'm mostly just freelance and video work for, I mean, like anything from like weddings to quinceañeras to like product stuff to restaurants. I mean, like anything that comes my way, I take it.
Speaking of that, so trailing back to how you started off, so you kind of just started off with this kind of in the early aughts then, right? Since you said you did Windows Movie Maker. So what year would this be?
Oh, man. That was like high school. So that had to be, for me, it was like 2005, I think, is when I really started. And it initially started with like the first GoPro that came out. Okay. But I mean, the first GoPro came out a little later, so it was like another camera. But really, once I really started getting into it was with the first GoPro and then like iMovie. And then, yeah.
That's really interesting because most people don't, because one could say that you basically start off with a vlogging background.
Kind of, yeah. It's very YouTube.
Very YouTube.
Very YouTube filmmaking. Like when you watch YouTube films, there's like a certain style to them where it's like it disobeys the rules of what filmmaking is, and it has its own style. So it was very like that. I mean, we're in the same kind of generation where we grew up with YouTube, so we're influenced very much by what we see on there. So you see that in my finals.
And speaking about your work, I have looked over your work, and there is that vlogging vibe, that very YouTube vibe, that very just let's film life. Now, what I want to ask you about that is, do you still commercially do stuff like that? Do you? Because you do stuff like this out of your own pleasure. If you look on your Instagram, there's videos of you and your girlfriend traveling. You do a lot of traveling videos. Mm-hmm. But do you also get paid to do videos like that? Paid to do like drone shots of maybe commercials for travel agencies, something of the sorts?
Nothing for travel. No. Honestly, all the travel stuff is just fun. It's like the money that my girlfriend and I have saved up, we use it to go. And then we just enjoy making those for ourselves. Because we have then these awesome memories to look back at, and that's it's like just pure enjoyment of like being there, being where we are, where no matter where we are, and being able to make these memories of it. But as far as like getting paid for it, I haven't gotten there, but I think if I really tried to like get my name out there to somebody like a travel agency, like you said, I think I have a well-rounded portfolio now that I could intrigue some people to pay me to go do some stuff for them.
And speaking about your portfolio, it's a pretty expansive one, ranging, like I said, from product photography and quinceañeras, events. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you balance out, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, your artistic skill? Like, how do you mold yourself into, okay, I'm going to be doing product photography here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing an event here. How do you go about these complete different types of, like, jobs?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, when I started, I was very much like, no, I don't think I could do a quinceañera. Yeah. No, a wedding seems too crazy. I don't think I could do it. And I thoroughly regret turning down, like, several of those big parties, because I think you just need to throw yourself in it. And if you really love it and you know what you're doing with your camera, you'll be able to excel and get what you need to get. So I regret turning some of those down, because now I've gotten to the point where anything that comes my way, I just say yes. And I just say yes. Like, do you want to film me and my girlfriend running on the beach? Sure. Do you want to take pictures of, I'm starting a marijuana company. Can you take pictures? Yeah, of course, you know. And I think it's more of like just being confident with your camera that allows you to jump into said any situation, really, and kind of get what you need to get. I took an advanced photography class here at Pierce when really I was really focusing on filmmaking. But I was like, you know what? Like, there's so much more money to be made with photography as well that I really need to learn it. And I forget my professor's name and I feel terrible for forgetting it. But taking that class really got me well-rounded in every aspect of my camera, that now I can put myself in any situation, you know, and I can really, really get what needs to be gotten.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. And
so I think it's just time. Like, time, like, anywhere you go, take your camera with you. Like, if you're just going to go, like, walk around downtown, go get some building shots, you know. If you're going to go to the beach, go get some scenic panoramic shots. If you're going to be, like, at the park with your dog, go take pictures of your dog. Like, it's just learning how to work every little aspect of your camera, from, like, f-stops to, like, ISO to shutter speeds to everything, you know, and learn how all that balances out and works to compose a great picture.
You actually kind of answered the question, because I was going to ask you, how do you get comfortable with your camera? Mm-hmm. And you seem to answer some of that, but how do you, I guess you can say, how do you get more comfortable with the real technical aspects? Like, there's, of course, you need to know about f-stop and all things, but how do you learn it? Should it be in a classroom, or should it just be a mixture of hands-on and in a classroom, or just 100% hands-on? How did you see it?
Okay, for me, I mean, I can tell you my experience, and I'll tell you how it worked for me. YouTube. I'm not even kidding. It sounds funny, because people watch silly videos of people doing random stuff on YouTube. But if you really delve into it, there's so many channels on there with so many knowledgeable people who teach you so much. So I set myself a good foundation through YouTube, where then I knew that I could expand it more by coming to school. So I started coming to school here at Pierce, and there I started to take photo classes, video classes, then this broadcasting class. Like, I didn't want to get into radio, but I still took it, right? It's about, like, broadening your horizon and kind of, like, just becoming an expert at everything. Or maybe not an expert at everything, you know? It's like, what's that saying? It's like master of none, but
jack of all trades.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I feel you.
Yeah, but like, I think that's kind of like my thing. Okay, so yeah, sorry. It was YouTube, and then like coming and taking the classes, and then even when I came into classes, when professors would talk about stuff, I'd be like, I already know that, and then I realized, like, how did I know that? I know it from YouTube, and it's pretty surprising. Like, I think YouTube is taken for granted in the learning aspect. I mean, there's a great YouTuber, his name is Peter McKinnon, and that was he was my mentor. I mean, like, he doesn't know it, you know, like, but I watched his channel and all his videos religiously, and he taught me so much. And then it doesn't even stop there. It doesn't even stop with the camera. It's like about learning the editing softwares, and that's a whole nother beast. Like, Adobe puts out so many things, right? So like Lightroom, Photoshop, After Effects, and Premiere, right? Those are like my four go-to. And those things are monsters. But he taught me so much in that then I learned to conquer that. And then coming to school just then kept building and building and building. And I think it's just time. But YouTube, like, I can't say it enough. Like, YouTube teaches you so much. It's incredible. And it's free.
Yeah. And going on from what you said, so you also really, like, propagate the idea of, like, well, you use what the moment you learn something, you go out and use it.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you tell someone who is like a bit shy about using a camera? Because a lot of people, I myself included, there are certain moments where you want to shoot something in public, but self-consciousness, certain ideas of social pressure get to you.
Like,
how did you get over that?
If you ever mean like onlookers?
Onlookers, something like that, yeah.
I think that's like a personal thing.
Really?
I think the more you do it, you definitely care less about what people think. I mean, my girlfriend went to Thailand for 2 weeks, I think it was, and it sounds cheesy, but I started doing a daily vlog for her. So I was like, okay, she's gone for 2 weeks, and I don't want to just talk to her on the phone. Like, we could do that anytime. So what I did was I started vlogging for 2 weeks straight every day. And the first couple days I was like holding my camera, but I would hold it really low because I was super embarrassed because people would see me like holding my camera and talking to it. And then by the end of the 2 weeks, I was like full on like up in front of my face, like proud of what I was doing. I think the more you do it, the less you care about what people think. And you kind of like just realize you're expressing yourself artistically and it's fun. And it becomes like this thing that you kind of like fall in love with. And then you don't care what everybody else thinks. And I think like just a good, like, I guess the moral of this story is learn to not care what other people think. It might be embarrassing because it really is. Like, when I held that camera up for the first time, I felt embarrassed. Like, you could feel it, right? Like, you feel a little sweaty. Your heart's bumping a little faster. And then the more and more you do it, the more you get used to it. And then you don't even realize people are there. That's the best part. Like, I've gotten – when we went to Morocco in Europe last summer – and I felt weird pulling my camera out there. And I don't know why. I think it's just because it was a different country. Yeah. And so I felt shy at first. But then it just, like, clicked. And I was like, it's like everybody else kind of disappeared. And it was like, all right, do this. And, like, my girlfriend would do it. And her friends would do it. And then I'd be like, all right, let's do this. Let's do it. So it's just I think it's just, like, doing it more. You get more comfortable. You learn to realize it doesn't matter what people think. And then they just disappear. How was that answer?
That's an amazing answer.
I'm trying to elaborate as much as I can.
No, you're doing a great job. And on from that, I actually want to go into a little bit about embarrassment. How do you ever look back at your old work and just go like,
so embarrassing.
Really?
Yeah. But it's so fun at the same time. I think, like, critically I look at it and I'm like, oh, that's terrible. Why did I make that cut? What's up with this music?
Yeah.
Why would I even put that shot in here, you know? Yeah. But then that also like shows how much you've grown, because you look at my first video and then you look at my latest video, and it's so cool to see how far I've come along. Like, I look at that and I think like, wow, I can't believe I did that. But then I think of like everything in between. I'm like, look, I learned not to do this anymore, and that type of cut isn't in my latest video. Like, obviously I'm learning and I'm progressing. But those videos are awful, right? Like, I hate them. But then I love them at the same time, because I look at them and I laugh and I can't stop laughing at them. But I don't post them because I am embarrassed about them. But they're so good. I mean, anybody can find them. They're on YouTube.
Yeah, I think I've seen a couple of those.
Yeah. And they're terrible. But then they're so cool. It's hard.
But speaking of that, you talked about improvement and how you're embarrassed of your old mistakes. Now, what could you tell us are like some improvements that you've made, like from a technical aspect or maybe shot composition? Like, what things that have you've noticed that like, wow, I really improved in this?
Yeah. No, you're good. Technical. I think not being afraid of Adobe Premiere, because I was on iMovie forever. And I would look at videos of Premiere or like, or any of the other ones. I forget them now.
Final Cut.
Yeah, Sony. Final Cut. I don't like Final Cut. I've tried it, but I used to look at Premiere and be so scared of it. And I was like, "Whoa, you could do that, and how much you could do there." And like iMovie was so simple. You just drop your clip and then you cut your ins and outs, and then you just connect it and put the music behind it, you know. But then I finally like, all right, you know what? I just gotta do it. And then I jumped on Premiere. And I just did nothing, right? I just took my camera outside and I just like panned left, panned right, like got a shot of like a squirrel, got a shot of like a person running through the street. And then I just like would take those clips and then I try to edit them in different ways and try to see if I could tell a story somehow. So I think technical wise, you just want to practice. It's practice, practice, right? I think for camera-wise and, like, composing shots, I think school really helped. And what helped is the photo class that I referred to earlier. My professor, I wish I remembered his
name.
Was it
a male or a female?
It was a dude.
Was it Gerard Buckhart?
Yeah, white guy with a beard. He used to...
Beard, maybe scarf.
Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Gerard Buckhart's class, everybody. Take it. Take beginning photography 101.
The one I took was like an advanced... It was advanced photography something. But he showed us how to compose shots and like why everything inside of a shot needs to make sense. And then like the rule of thirds and like the line of sight and like head room, lead room, stuff like that. I think so that class showed me then... I then transcribed that into like video, right? And so I took what I learned for the photography class and used it into my videos. And I think my shots are so well composed. I mean, like obviously I make mistakes. There's some shots in there that don't make sense, and you're like, why would you even frame it that way? But for the most part, I know what I'm doing now because of that class. I think that helped a lot.
And would you say that these improvements, especially with your not introduction, but like usage of Adobe Premiere and other form of Adobe programs and your change of compositions when it comes to shots, do you think they improved you in an economic and professional sense? Like you've seen yourself getting more work because of these improvements, that people have been taking you more seriously because of them?
Oh, for sure.
Really?
Yeah. I think what really helped was watching how other people edit and watching other people's films. That helps so much. Like I said, like Peter McKinnon, and then there's this other guy like Maddie Hapoya or something like that, and Taylor Cut Films, I think is his YouTube channel. I watch all of their videos, and they, it's like figuring out their style, figuring out how to recreate their style, and then turn that style into your own. And then with that, I've been able to then, I make my own videos, right? So like I'll say it'll be me and my girlfriend running around some beach, or like me and some friends like running around the city. And I've been able to use that as my portfolio to then show as examples to people who then would be like, oh, wow, that's a great video. Oh, whoa, can you do something like that for us? And I'd be like, yeah, of course. And I mean, I show people my documentary that I did for the film class here that I won an award for. And
take your time.
You know, it's all things like that I show to clients, and then that gets me more work.
Yeah. That's something I actually really wanted to bring up was that document of itself. Many have claimed it to be some of your best work. And what was the creative process of that? Because for all those who don't know, this is a documentary that Chris made about his father and his father's story about being an immigrant, crossing into America and finding a life here. What was the thought process with that? And what drove you to make such a, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, emotional and powerful documentary?
It was just, honestly, I just heard my story, my dad. I've heard my dad's story over the years, and I've always thought it was so interesting, especially in like today's political climate. It's amazing, his story. And I'd always wanted to do something. So really, it took no creative thought on my end. It was just like that our film class that I had at the time was like, all right, you have to do a documentary. And so finally, that pushed me to be like, oh, here's my chance. Like, I've been wanting to tell my dad's story for so long that I was like, might as well do it for a grade, you know, and put it together. And I got to hang out with my dad, which is a plus. I mean, not saying that I don't hang out with I hang out with my dad all the time, but got to hang out with him, get to really hear his story. Like, I got to sit him down and he got to kind of learn what I do. Like, I mean, his story alone drove me through the process of creating that video, because I didn't have to come up with anything. I didn't tell him like, oh, say this, say that. It was like, sit down, set him on the chair, and just tell your story. And then after that, it was just like, okay, what does he talk about? He's talking about this, this, and this. So like, I would mark things down. Like, he talked about how he came across the border. So then I'd be like, oh, I need a shot of like a car coming across the border, like, you know. And then he'd be like, oh, and then I love my wife, who I've been with for so many years. And then it's like, oh, okay, I gotta get a shot of him and my mom, you know. And then that was actually very easy for me because of the story was already there. It was just kind of like getting it on film and editing it correctly.
And how did it feel to hear the response from other people? Because people praise this documentary a lot. Not just on the content of what you see and what you did in it, but also the story of it. How did it feel to hear people's perspectives on it and how this documentary touched them in some type of way?
It felt really nice. I mean, it wasn't like I sat there and I was like, oh, I'm an amazing award-winning cinematographer now. In that sense, not at all. It was just the fact it felt really good for me for my dad through me, if that makes sense. You know, like, I knew he had a great story, and I'm glad other people got to hear it, and I'm glad to know that story does resonate for a lot of people, and it's not just me. It's not just me who thinks that it's a great story. It's other people who are like, wow, that's an incredible thing that he did, and his trials and tribulations on what he did to make his way across the U.S. border, come here, and make a great life for his wife and kids. And, I mean, thanks to my dad, like, if he didn't do that, I wouldn't be here. You know, I'd probably be down in Guatemala somewhere running around without shoes.
But speaking of that, like, you've really delved into the documentarian work and stuff of the sorts. Do you find that as your most enjoyable form of work?
Yeah, it's enjoyable. Yeah. I really do like it. Is it my favorite? No. I honestly feel, and like, not even like cinema, right? So like, not even like a feature film would be my favorite. I love music. Love it, right? So like, rock, hip hop is like my two go-tos. If I could be a music video director, creator, producer, whatever, like, music would be my go-to love. And that would be awesome.
Yeah, we've had a chat about how you still find enjoyment playing guitar and drums. I was gonna ask you if have you worked on music videos before?
I have not, which is so funny. Yeah, I haven't. I don't have in my portfolio. I have nothing having to do with a music video, unless you count like the videos that I put on Instagram, which are all back to music, and they're all kind of like, I take that music.
Your vlogs.
Yeah. And I take that music and I kind of like will create the shots around of what I hear in the lyrics. If you count that, then yeah, I worked on several music videos.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain music videos of just a guy sitting on a chair. So
Yeah. But officially, like with a crew and like a cast and everything like that, no, not at all. I wish, though. Hopefully, one day. I'm sure it will happen one day.
Even though you've said music is your favorite thing, in comparison to what you have done, what would you find as your favorite? Would it be the travel vlogs that you do, the travel photography that you do?
Right now, I don't think I have a favorite. I mean, the documentaries that I do, because like, I've done a couple now, and then I've done a couple, and then I do all those like Instagram and YouTube stuff too. It's all kind of my favorite because I just like to be behind the camera, and I like to find a story, and I like to tell it visually. So it all kind of falls into like, it's my favorite in the sense that I'm doing my favorite thing, and not just like one category is my favorite.
Just filmmaking in general.
Yeah. Photography in general. I get burned out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we all get burned there's out. Times where I'm like, no, I'm not even going to upload this footage for like a week because I'm like, I don't even want to look at a screen. But then once you start to see like all the clips come together with the music behind it or like people telling their story, you're like, oh, this is great. And then that like fuels like more ideas, and you're like, oh, this would be good if I do this, or maybe I should add this in it. You know, and that's what I love.
Yeah, talking about that now, actually, you're currently, as I said, you're a Nickelodeon intern for social media.
Mm-hmm.
How has that been for you?
That's been great, man. All my freelancing stuff I was able to create a big portfolio, and one day I saw that they needed an intern, so I applied and I sent in all my stuff and I got it. Did I think I was gonna get it? No, I was like, I don't know, it's Nick. I'm sure there's like thousands of people applying, and one day I just got a call back and I got it. And did the interview, got it, and then I've been there for 10 weeks now. Yeah, which flies by, right? So what's great is that the intern was supposed to end this Friday, but not to brag, but I've been I've been doing a really good job. So I got extended through to June, And then starting June, I'm actually moving into the YouTube department, which will then take me there through August. So I'm there till August. And then hopefully after that, I get a full-time position with the with them. But, dude, that's it's so much fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, could you just go in a little bit about what you do?
Yeah. So I don't film anything. We have our own, like, servers and stuff where we pull clips or whatever we need from, like, shows. And, like, my team will be like, hey, Christian, we need a couple slides for Instagram story for Ninja Turtles, right? So I'll jump on our server and I'll grab whatever from whatever. I'll grab, like, clips from whatever episode they need. And then I'll find a short story within those clips. So, like, I'll cut the 11-minute episode into, like, say, 3 15-second slides. And I'll take that, make a quick story, I let it flow, and then throw it onto Instagram stories and then, like, find, like, gift stickers or, like, how to do, like, add, like, hashtags and then be, like, I have to, like, interaction is a big, big thing. So you always want to be, like, what do you think the turtles would choose, pizza or chocolate? And then you put, like, the poll, you know, and you'll put, like, a slice of pizza or a piece of chocolate. And then you just want to make it as interactive as possible and as fun as possible. And that's pretty much what I do. I mean, like, then it's like, or like I'll take like screenshots of different show for like Double Dare and I'll toss those for like into Instagram stories as well. Then like throw some text behind it again, make it interactive. And then another thing is like gift stickers. So like all those little like stickers that you put onto like videos and stuff. I make a bunch of those. So I'll take assets from like shows and stuff and just be like After Effects and then mask them out and then use them as gift stickers. But yeah, and that's pretty much all I do.
Yeah, and while you enjoy this stuff, do you think that this could lead to something you would really enjoy? Maybe a filming position, and what would that position be? Where do you think this position could take you, and where would you like it to take you?
Honestly, I would do anything to stay there. Like, as fun as freelancing is also scary. You know, like, a month from now, I don't have any jobs lined up. Where at Nick, I have a job. I have a paycheck. And I would love to, I would do anything to stay there right now. And, like if you want to make me just a full-time editor, I'd be a full-time editor. If you want to make me a PA for an animation show, I don't know animation, but I'll learn how to be a PA for animation. They're putting me into like the YouTube department starting the summer. So like, if I could just be like camera op for them, if I could be a PA for them, if I could be an editor, dude, honestly, but like I would do anything. But the goal is to become like producer, director, creative producer, right? I don't want to deal with like financial stuff. I want to be a creative producer or a director. Mm-hmm. I think that's like my goal.
And with those goals, do you see this, you know, very raw filming of live vlogging type of thing affecting that too? Or in a sense that would you keep doing that even though you'll have this big position?
No, I would keep doing it.
You keep with that passion?
Yeah. As far as like, if they let me, you know, like,
because yeah, time
in the end, it is a big corporate company. So like, if it's not against the rules, I will continue to do it. Obviously, I wouldn't do anything risky. Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna put up some vlog about like politics or anything like that. But I'm just gonna keep being myself. And like, and honestly, I'm not even scared about like doing anything risky because I'm not risky person anyways. Like, I wouldn't put up a controversial thing online anyways. Like, I know that it would affect me somehow later on. Like, nothing on the internet disappears, you know. So I'm not even worried about that. So as far as like if it's allowed, I would continue to do it. It's hard though, like even now doing the internship and being full-time student as well, like trying to put up my own stuff on my own Instagram is tough. Like, when I get home, I want to go to sleep. I don't want to look at a computer, I don't want to look at my phone, I just want to go to sleep or watch TV maybe.
Speaking about that very personal life and the whole your artistic passion, to end this, I like to pose you with maybe two tiny little questions.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to the people who want to do film, want to do photography, haven't started yet? And what would you tell to the people who are doing it right now but are struggling and thinking if they should just quit?
Okay, wait. Sorry. So it's two parts.
Yeah, no, it's a two-parter. So the people who want to do this, want to do what you do, want to do film, want to do photography, but they haven't started yet. Yeah. What would you tell them?
Just get out there, go wherever you can with your camera. Take your phone if you don't have a camera, because our phones are great cameras as well. And just shoot whatever you can. Just go. Like, if you're gonna go to the park with your friend, make a little story about your dog. Like, maybe your dog picks up a stick and then just follow his little friendship with the stick, you know, throughout the day at the park. And then at the end of the day, your dog, you're going to take it back home, right? And then he's going to end up leaving the stick behind. And then it's going to be a sad story because the dog's going to be sad because he didn't have a stick. See, that's a story right there. Like, just get out there and do something like that. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't have to be like this grand cinematic experience. It's just you want to show your storytelling. That's what matters the most. Like, if you're just dumping clips, and none of them make sense, yeah, it looks cool. But I think you need to learn how to tell a story out of a normal day.
Would you say that to the same people who are doing film, but they're just questioning whether they should just quit it or not?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that same thing?
I mean, maybe, like, take some time away from your camera. I know that's the opposite of what I just said. But if you're feeling like when I get burned out, I put my camera down and I'll go to the beach without my phone and I won't do anything, right? I just sit there. I'll fall asleep. I'll go play in the waves. Take some time off and learn to love it again and come back to it. I think that's my advice because that's what I do. I've never actually fallen out of love with it and thought to quit. Even if I were to get like a full-time producer directing position at Nick for something, I think on my weekends I would still try to like do something. I would still. So it's hard for me to say. If you're thinking about quitting, what would you do? Because I don't see myself quitting. So it's hard for me to say like what you should do. But yeah, I think maybe time off always helps, you know.
Yeah. So.
Just disconnect.
Yeah, I feel it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty mellow answer after this after the first answer you gave me, which was really powerful.
Yeah,
but I think that's the root of the show because that was a perfect last answer.
I mean, there's no like hard line as to what you're supposed to do. Yeah. Like everybody's path is always going to be different. Like I can tell you my story, but my story isn't going to be your story. You know, and I think it's just figuring it out for yourself, and it's hard. I mean, like. Especially coming up as like a first-time independent filmmaker or photographer, it's tough, dude. Everybody's doing it. You know, photographers everywhere. And I think about like every wedding that happens every weekend. There's always a film crew or a photography crew. So it's about finding your own style and finding a way to get your name out there. That's tough. You're not gonna find work the first couple of months. Trust me. I lived off my credit cards for a while. It's dangerous. Still paying one off from the beginning times. But but then the more you work, the harder you work, the more you'll feel your hard work paying off. I mean, look at me. I started off, I quit my bartending job and was like, no, I'm done. Walked out. No plan. I just knew I had my camera. I was like, all right, start shooting. Shoot. Make a portfolio. Send it. Work. Now I've been freelancing for 3 years. And now I'm at Nick. And I have this huge opportunity to prove myself at Nickelodeon, and I can become something at Nickelodeon. So just, I mean, it's hard work. There's a little bit of luck involved maybe, but it's work in the end.
I think that's the perfect advice for all of our viewers out there who want to get into this, who want to start their own story, you know? And I think that's a perfect way to end the show. So again, I want to thank Chris Ramirez for being here and give him a little bit of time to shout himself out. You can follow him on Instagram on ChrisRam9. Chris, K-C-H-R-I-S-R-A-M-9.
The number, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't posted anything in a while.
You have not posted anything. He's been very busy, but you can follow him on there. And do you have a Twitter or any other social media people can follow you on there?
No, I had like the Twitter for this radio station when we took the class, but I haven't used it since then.
Yeah.
But no.
Minor shout out. You guys should check out a show on KPC Radio from the spring 2018 season. What was the name of your show? It was something about entrepreneurs, correct?
Yeah, it was.
Just search up Chris Ramirez on KPC, people. Don't worry, you'll find it. It's a wonderful show. And again, that was Indie Wood on KPC Radio.
Okay, one more piece of advice to say. If you're trying to get work through like creative work visually, your Instagram is huge. Huge. Like you think it's just social media, it's not for like creatives. So just there we go.
Yep, that was last bit of advice with Chris, everybody. Again, this was KPC. This was KPC. This was Andy Wood on KPC Radio. I'm your host, Steve Lopez. Join me Thursday for another episode where I'll be having David Legel and Andy Aguilar from Columbia College Hollywood, who have a beautiful project to talk about with you guys. And again, I want to thank Chris Ramirez. Thank all of you for listening to me after the long hiatus after the last episode. And I love you all, and see you next time.